Welcome to The Associate, a podcast dedicated to democratizing venture capital and increasing access to capital. Our mission is to educate the community, support founders, give a voice to investors, and anyone else involved in the fields of startups, technology, and venture capital. I'm your host, Imari Watson, a current HBCU VC fellow. Today, we're sitting down with JT Trujillo, a first-generation college graduate who went on to obtain his MBA from the Emory University Guzzetta Business School. At the start of his career, JT worked for a Fortune 500 tech company and then moved on to two exited fintech companies. In addition, JT is a former fintech founder. While at GBS, JT worked at the Peachtree Minority Venture Fund, managing a $1 million fund focused on deploying catalytic capital for BIPOC founders. After graduating, JT worked at Goody Nation, a post-accelerator support program focused on closing the relationship and resource gap for underserved and undercapitalized founders. While guiding startups through fundraising challenges at Goody Nation, JT was a part of multiple venture capital-centric programs, including Venture Partners Fund Associate Fellowship, a Venture Scout at Level Up Ventures, and in his current role as an HBCU VC Fellow, JT is working at the Open Opportunity Fund, focusing on investing in Black and Latino founders.
Hi, JT. Thank you for joining us on The Associate today. How are you?
I'm doing pretty great, Imari. Thanks for having me.
You're welcome. So for all the listeners out there, JT is a part of my cohort this summer. We are cohort buddies. So it's been really great getting to meet him, to know him, and honestly really learn from him. I definitely attest out of the 29 of us that JT he's the one, he's on it. He's always dropping stuff in the group chat. Hey, apply for this, look this up. These companies are raising right now. So he's very much an inspiration and very much someone that I've been learning from. So that's really why we wanted to have him on the podcast, because as the guests know, the goal of this podcast is really to bring venture capital to the community and to really explain it to the masses in a way that is digestible. So thanks so much for coming on today, JT.
Of course, and thanks. Happy to know that I'm inspiring others within our group. So that's awesome.
Yeah, so let's hop on right into it. So I guess the first question that I really have for you today is, can you tell us how you first discovered HBCU VC? What drew you to apply for the fellowship?
Yeah, that's a great question. I actually learned about HBCU VC about 2 years ago while I was in my MBA program. I thought it was only a program that was catered to undergraduate, you know, students that were interested in, you know, the venture capital landscape. It wasn't until I ran, I kind of like crossed paths with Alexis Doolin. We were both working at Goody Nation. Yeah, mm-hmm. She's a senior fellow. And at that time, we were both coordinating events for the Venture Crawl on Goody Nation's behalf at the Venture Atlanta Conference a year ago. I can't believe the next one's coming up in just a few short months. But
right. Like, right?
That is correct. She mentioned that she had been recruiting for venture capital. We both had similar interests, and we already worked together constantly. You know, we were on weekly meetings for Goody Nation. So she mentioned that she was a fellow, told me a little bit more about the program. And then when the application cycle came around at the top of the year, I didn't even know, but she kind of threw my name in the hat and referred me. And I thought it was awesome because I thought I was just, you know, I wasn't eligible. So yeah, that's how I found out about it.
Okay, that sounds awesome. So being this far being in the program, have your expectations been met? I know we did like a lot of prepping before our internship started this summer, about the course of 2 months with like weekly sessions. We prepared for mock pit and the summit that we actually had. So tell us a little bit about those experiences and how they prepared you and set the stage for our new fellows retreat that we had in Tulsa.
Yeah. So we were broken up into almost like small deal teams. Some groups had three and four teammates. I had, you know, my teammates were Quentin, Dylan, and Keyshawn. And we were focused on sourcing Black founders in, you know, the, you know, entrepreneurial and startup space. So through working at Getty Nation, you know, they have, about 700 portfolio companies that are all under the Getty Nation flagship. And, you know, I was just so used to and accustomed to interacting with every single one of them. So I took on, you know, we broke up into different roles and I took on the sourcing side just because of the access that I had to so many different startups. And we started off with kind of like a top of the funnel, right? You know, so we had about 10 to 12 and then we decided collectively as a group to the top two and then ultimately chose the one that we were presenting. Now, it was awesome because the training model that we went through with HBCU VC helped us to kind of identify key factors that appealed to not only just VCs, but also like kind of key metrics and, you know, unit economics that will really pop, you know, KPIs that would really appeal to venture capitalists. You know, one thing that I've learned through my work in Getty Nation, I like to call it kind of like the triage, you know, it's a post accelerator program, support program for entrepreneurs. So individuals who come out of like maybe YC or Techstars or other high profile accelerators is that, you know, nonetheless, at every level, you know, all startups need help. You know, once they get to another level and achieve a new level of success, they need that next intro to open up another door for them to get to that next level. So it was really awesome because, you know, that was the goal that, you know, we always started with kind of the end in mind is how can we create value for this particular startup? It was awesome because the one that we ultimately fell on was Datatrix. I have a relationship with the founder, Serge, based out of San Francisco. He was all on board. And so it seemed out of the startups that we chose, it was the most ready. And based off of all the, you know, educational and all the resources we got from HBCU VC, they seemed to be the most ready out of the pipeline that we had that was ready to kind of take on that next, you know, those venture dollars.
Oh, no, that sounds awesome. And I think even before, like we talked about all the experience you've had in the space, in different accelerator programs, fellowships, internships, just you even having that access and that potential to expose Datatrix to potential investors, because we did a mock pitch. And so can you go a little bit into talking about that impactful moment of, you know, presenting that pitch and what's kind of transpired from that opportunity?
Yeah, great question. So not gonna lie, full transparency, we were kind of scared going into the pitch. And we wanted to go first, believe it or not. We wanted to kind of bang it out the way. But when we saw what 4 minutes looked like, we were the first group to present after the lunch break. So there was a you know, handful of groups that went before us. You know, we had to quickly pivot. And it just shows you that just in this landscape, you may have 4 minutes, you may have 10 minutes, you may have 15 minutes. Right. There was a time when I was a founder that I was actually supposed to pitch at, you know, in a particular order. And I was supposed to have 10 minutes. And because it was cut short, then all of a sudden, I was pitching in a different order and I had 4 minutes and I just kind of had to come on the fly. So me and my team kind of quickly adapted and I said, man, I'm going to go breeze through the, you know, the first handful of slides so that way we could really highlight the meat of the presentation, the KPIs, the traction. But it was pretty exhilarating. But leading up to that point, we were more so studying others, you know, startups. We also implemented some of the feedback that Hadia and Trevor gave us during kind of the feedback session. And, you know, we spent a lot of time on kind of building and giving the background of the startup rather than really showcasing this is why it's important to invest. And that ultimately drew the attention of some of the, you know, the judges that were there, which were Daryl Frater from Serac Ventures. We had Atento in the building as well as Builders and Backers. So it was pretty awesome, you know, very like exhilarating at first, and it was just nice to like get that positive feedback at the end after the presentation.
So JT, you talked about the pitch that you did for Datatrix at our new fellows retreat. Can you tell us a little bit about what a mock pitch is, what a pitch deck is for our listeners that don't know what it is?
Yeah, so a pitch deck, there's multiple different kinds of pitch decks. So the ones that you would probably see more on the venture side would be, you know, founder pitch decks. And it's supposed to communicate the, you know, kind of some key information about the startup, more so the problem that you're solving, how your solution is the best solution fit to solve that problem. what the unique value proposition or UVP is, so how you are doing it better than other people, what's your secret sauce in there, and then, you know, highlight some key information about the market, like how big is the market? If a VC gives you some dollars right now, can it return a fund in 10 years? Also, how much market share you can kind of take over, and depending on, you know, the different time series and your market sizing analysis, and then the competitive landscape. You definitely want to see, you know, is your moat defensible? What, you know, how are you doing this better than others? And I think one thing that I want to highlight too about, you know, pitch deck is, you know, so many individuals and so many founders talk to me about like what I should include, how to win deals, how to get, you know, how to appeal to venture capitalists. I think the number one thing about a pitch deck is knowing what not to include in a pitch deck. You don't want to over engineer a pitch deck. You don't want to overly communicate, because then what happens is that founders will go into the weeds and you lose the appeal. You lose that follow on, maybe that introduction, or maybe that founder call, that discovery call the week later, because it sometimes it may lead to maybe talking yourself out of it. But yeah, that's kind of the overarching message that a pitch deck should communicate to a VC.
Yeah, that's awesome. Thank you for adding that perspective of what not to include, because I know some founders might not even, you know, be thinking about that. A little bit on the first episode, me and Hadia talked about just the experience while being in Tulsa. So we had a lot of opportunity to learn and do workshops, do the mock pitch, kind of like we talked about. But then we also had the opportunity to learn more about the culture and the community. Can you talk a little bit about your experience at Black Wall Street in Tulsa? And what were your initial thoughts when we first arrived?
Some of the tours were really eye-opening, you know, like no one knew that, at least I didn't know that Oklahoma was actually the most philanthropic, you know, state in the United States. There's more philanthropic dollars.
I didn't know that either.
Yeah, that go in per capita. What was more interesting is like where the dollars actually go. They go into maybe some buildings or maybe the park. I know that we got to see one of the sites that received some of that funding. But then you go to the other side of Tulsa and you see that there's a lot of areas that, you know, need some development, that those dollars could have been put to use. Of course, there's scarcity everywhere. But, you know, the other eye-opening part was the kind of like the two tales that we got from the story of Tulsa. You know, we got Cody at the coffee shop, really enlightening. It was, you know, he comes from multiple generations of Tulsans, getting a real look inside what happened in Tulsa, and then going to the museum. Both experiences, even though there was some overlap, there was the very distinct points that were highlighted.
That's differences, right.
Right. But nonetheless, it left me inspired as to why we were there, you know, why HBCU VC exists. It's important to be part of a mission, you know, driven organization that helps minorities break into VC, because it's really important to change the capital allocation side in the venture ecosystem. Because even though we're not going to pour every single dollar into just, you know, diverse or underserved founders, you know, we do need allyship, you know, all across the ecosystem. It's just important to make sure that, you know, there's no stone left unturned. You have to actually take that call, understand what the founder's solving. Maybe they're not ready for, you know, VC dollars right now, but they will in a year. Maybe your feedback makes all the difference. So it was just really awakening.
We talked a little bit earlier about the mock pitch and how it was really inspiring and how it made you feel and the confidence that it gave you at that moment. How do you feel like that moment when one of the judges kind of like expressed interest in the company that you were pitching, how did that, I don't want to say change, but maybe shape or build more confidence in your outlook and venture and why you're going through this fellowship and this moment where you are now?
So kind of what I alluded to earlier, just expanding on that, it kind of gave me that sense of confidence that you alluded to and mentioned. It gave me kind of like that diploma, like, okay, you're ready to go into this new level. I have been knocking on the door of venture for probably the past year now. You know, I went and got my MBA At Emory Alternative Investments, worked in the Petrie Minority Venture Fund, where we were deploying catalytic, you know, dollars into BIPOC founders. I worked on three deals. It was more so, you know, venture is a contact sport. So I just needed more reps, more practice, more shots.
That's a good way. That's
you just got to get in. Yeah.
Yeah.
And so it was awesome because it was like, okay, you're graduating. So getting that kind of approval from, you know, a very visible VC, it felt really good, especially after putting in all that work, you know.
Right.
HBCU VC is concurrent with, you know, other people's jobs, people are students, so it's kind of fitting that in between. You're meeting with your team on Sundays, maybe Sunday night. You're right. Getting feedback constantly throughout the week. You're iterating on, mm-hmm. you know, what your deck should look like. You know, we need to prepare these things, you know, these deliverables for certain deadlines and really get it in. So it was real. It was a real nice culmination and kind of like a award at the end. And it was like, okay, I am finally prepped to go into this fellowship, you know, in the summer and really knock it out the park. For my fund, Open Opportunity Fund.
Yes, so I guess to continue that and expand on that, how do you feel that HBCU VC and the network and the community have supported you thus far from, you know, getting that phone call that you've been accepted into the fellowship up until, I guess, what, week two or of your actual fellowship with the Open Opportunity Fund?
Yeah, I mean, The great part was when we had all these guest speakers and it was really insightful to get their takes, you know, their veterans in the space. And I really tried to implement a lot of their feedback. Typically, I really want to just jump in and consume and digest all resources, information. How can I make a splash? This actually taught me that sometimes I just need to come in, absorb the information, process how the fund works, what are the mechanics of the fund. Kind of like Phil Wickham mentioned, you know, sometimes it's just offer, you know, for every question, you know, or for every insight you get, like offer a question. So I've been patient, really listening to calls rather than wanting to unmute myself and jump in and give my take or my perspective or, you know, maybe some background. I've been really just note taking, really understanding, you know, how it is that my fund really likes to accept information, how they like to see information, how they like to process information, et cetera. But yeah, HBCU VC played an instrumental part just because not only did we have the access to the fellows, I mean, the whole team, Cynthia, Chelsea, Hadia, it's just such a supportive team. If we need anything, they'll make an introduction, they'll give us resources, they'll open doors for whatever we need to be successful. So it's really awesome to be receiving this level of support in an industry that, you know, is really gatekept. It's really awesome.
Right. I'm so glad you mentioned that because my next question was, what advice would you give to students that are interested in venture capital or interested in getting to the space and even interested in applying for HBCU VC for the next cycle?
Wow. That's a great question. Yeah, I'll let that marinate for a second. I think the one piece of advice that I would give anyone is if you're interested in venture, you have to be in venture to get into venture. And venture capital is one of those very rare industries that you gotta actually be able to show and prove that you can deliver value to a fund or an angel syndicate before. You know, there's no interview process. There's no, a lot of these teams are lean. There's a lot of our cohort members are understanding. There's no HR department. There's no infrastructure for hiring. There's no job posts that go out. It's more so like, mm-hmm. hey, I'm looking for a senior associate. Do you have anybody interested? You know, anybody who's a fit? It's very relationship driven. So being visible in this space is really important. So I think that the one thing is there is no linear path into VC. Period. I mean, I experienced that firsthand. But the one thing for sure is, you know, you got that mindset of you got to be in venture to get into venture, start helping founders, start doing things to create value for not only just founders, but funds, maybe introduce them to startups that fit their thesis, maybe point out different industry events or local events that might interest them, where they might be able to meet founders. So yeah, that's the one piece of advice for sure. If that's something that interests you, get started now. Don't wait until the program starts. You'll be really busy by then, but really start seeing if this is your domain, if this is where you want to be at.
That was really good advice. And I definitely agree that there's no linear path. So many of us in our cohort come from so many different spaces, fashion, healthcare, consulting. Like, we all have various different backgrounds. We're in various different parts of our lives. Some fellows just graduated. Some fellows have graduated post MBAs, currently in their MBA program. And we're all in the same space at the same time, gaining so much awesome knowledge. And really, we've been awarded an awesome opportunity. So I definitely agree with that. Well, we appreciate you for coming on The Associate today. You dropped a lot of gems, so thank you for that. We do have one last question we asked all our guests. What book are you reading right now? And why did you pick that book up? And are you enjoying it so far?
Yeah, coincidentally and ironically, it's a book that we received at the new Fellow Summit, which is Venture Deals. So it was always a book that I've kept in mind. Everyone that's in venture says that it's a highly recommended book to understand the industry. But believe it or not, I picked it up with more intention just because my senior associate told me that if you want to learn what this book does, is it brings together the legal and the financial aspects and the technical terms and marries that together in the book. Also, it's more so a recommendation because you get to learn more about the liquidation preferences and common stock, because you really need to know one layer of VC that maybe is not always talked about on the investor side. It's accessing the deal, it's winning the deal, but it's also the terms. So the terms play a huge role in whether you actually deploy that capital or not. This plays a huge role in those terms. So that's why I'm picking up the book, which is sitting on my desk right now.
Well, that's awesome. Thank you for sharing that with us. Yeah. So again, just thank you for coming on the podcast.
Absolutely. No, thank you for giving me the opportunity to kind of drop my gems and for showing interest. So awesome. Thank you to you and the HBCU VC team. It's been awesome. I love my role right now and just looking to give back any way I can to such an awesome organization.
Join us next week as we sit down with Alexis Doolin, a previous HBCU VC fellow. On this episode, we will be discussing Alexis's journey to venture capital, her insights as an investor, and more. Thank you for joining us on The Associate, where we're bridging the gap between aspiring entrepreneurs and the world of venture capital by democratizing VC and providing access to capital, one conversation at a time.